Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California is no stranger to economic booms and busts, but 2022 may be a prime example of how quickly and drastically the state's fiscal outlook can change. Earlier this year, a historic projected budget surplus of nearly $100 billion allowed Governor Newsom and the Democratic-led legislature to expand government programs and financial assistance, but a report released by the nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office has forecasted the state could be faced with a nearly $25 billion budget problem, an estimate they say is the weakest revenue performance California has seen since the 2008 Great Recession. This report is only a projection, but how did the state's fiscal outlook change so drastically in just one calendar year? And does it mean if a recession is on the horizon? To help us unpack all of this, we're joined by H.D. Palmer, who heads the California Department of Finance. H.D., welcome to Insight. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
So you have a very long tenure in this department. I mean, you span four governors, from Newsom to Jerry Brown, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Governor Pete Wilson. What is the Department of Finance's role when it comes to California's budget?
Our role is to be the governor's fiscal agent, if you will. We are responsible at the governor's direction for preparing the state budget every year that has to be presented to the legislature no later than January the 10th. Of each year. And once that is enacted, we oversee the implementation of that budget. So it's pretty much a year-round job. It doesn't like we're done 6 months and then we take off for a couple of months. It literally, as soon as the budget is signed in any given year, the next week or two, we're already looking ahead 6 months to the next budget. So our job is to help him, the governor, develop that budget, do it in a fiscally responsible manner, and then continue to be good monitors and good stewards of those dollars that are appropriated by the legislature.
How does it differ from the Legislative Analyst Office? And do both of your offices or departments work together in tandem?
We work very closely together. They are indeed, as you say, separate from us. They're a very venerable institution. They go back to the 1940s here in California. In fact, they were the model that was used by Washington when they created the Congressional Budget Office that advises Congress. So we work very closely with the analyst and his or her staff. We consult with each other. We share information. We look at the same data. We may have different interpretations on it. And so each year, every November, they come out with kind of their first estimate, picture, snapshot, if you will, of what they think the next fiscal year is going to look like. And then they do that prior to the governor coming out in January with his budget proposal. So in looking at what their report said in terms of a projected shortfall of about $25 billion, we think that's a reasonable and realistic projection given what we both have seen so far. We'll have a little bit more information as we finish finalizing our forecasts this week and we sit down with the governor beginning next week and start making those final decisions with him that he is going to have reflected in his budget plan that will come to the legislature on January the 10th.
Like earlier this year, though, the governor described the state's surplus as without precedent. It reached a record high of like $97 billion. What happened between earlier this year and a projected $25 billion shortfall for the upcoming fiscal year?
You're absolutely right. He did and rightfully shine a light on the fact that our fortunes have been such, our economic growth has been such, our recovery from the COVID recession has been such that we were blessed with a significant surplus. But if you go back to the governor's forecast in his revised budget in May, he said there are a lot of flashing lights out there in the economy. There's a slowdown ahead and we need to be mindful of it. And really, you can put that into three areas that he said we need to watch out for. The first was there's going to be continued and persistent inflation. Well, what's happened since May? Inflation has reached a 40-year high in June. It's eased slightly, but consumers are still feeling the pinch at the gas pump and at the grocery lines. The second thing the governor noted in terms of a flashing light was interest rates. Because we have an economy that has been overheating, it was very likely that the Federal Reserve Board in Washington was going to increase interest rates. Well, what's happened since the governor said that in May? Since then, the Fed has increased rates five times for a total of 3.5%. They have another meeting in 2 weeks, and it's likely they're going to have a sixth increase coming since May. That affects everything from the interest we pay on our credit card debt to home loans to car loans. And the third thing the governor noted was that there may be some continuing volatility in the financial markets. What's happened since the governor said that in May? The Dow Jones Industrial Average has gone down 2.5%. The S&P 500 has gone down 9%. The NASDAQ, as it's called, which is an index where most of the tech-heavy corporations that are in California are listed, has gone down nearly 15%. So the governor, when he was rightfully noting our surplus, said this isn't going to go on forever. In the past in California, when we've been in good times, the governors and legislatures have thought this is going to go on forever and we can continue budgeting and doing what we've done so far, thinking that we're going to be in good times for a number of years. And it's turned out painfully not to be the case. So the governor was very mindful of that back in May. And he said, let's be smart about how we deal with this surplus. And the legislature agreed with him, and they were smart in a couple of areas. They chose to pay down debt from prior years. They chose to build up our budget reserves. They chose to continue to reducing our long-term liabilities like pension obligations. And they chose to use a good chunk of the discretionary part of that surplus on one-time spending as opposed to building a higher ongoing level of spending. And probably the best example of that in terms of one-time spending is the $9.5 billion in inflation relief payments that have been going out this fall to a total of about 17 million Californians and are continuing to go out and will go out through the end of the year. That's provided some near-term relief for Californians who have been hit hard by inflation. But that's a one-time expenditure on a targeted program where we think it had a very helpful result. So we have been smart with the surplus, recognizing that these good times that we've been in the last year or so aren't going to last forever. And so we are looking at now, because the economy has declined as the governor suggested that it would, because revenues have declined, we are looking at a shortfall that's probably going to be, our estimate will be somewhat in the range of what the legislative analyst's estimate is of about $25 billion.
I guess I'm curious, what is your response to Assembly Member, the Republican leader of the State Assembly, mm-hmm. James Gallagher? He responded to the LAO report, the Legislative Analyst's Office report, blaming Democratic policies and spending and that this essentially would trigger inflation and recession.
Well, inflation and the recession is a national issue. It's not a California issue. We are not responsible for raising interest rates in California. That's the Federal Reserve. And they made it very clear that their job is to fight inflation. And if they need to put the brakes on the economy by increasing interest rates, they were going to do that. The governor warned back in June that that was very likely to happen. And that's why we shouldn't go on a spending binge and that we should be prudent and be smart with the surplus. We've done that. And as a result, even though we are facing the shortfall that is going to be in the neighborhood of $25 billion, as a state, we are far better prepared today than we have been in recent memory in terms of being able to manage a revenue and economic downturn than we were, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that, and you have such an important hindsight because even just going back the last 3 years, I mean, I had to refresh my memory because there's just a whiplash when it comes to the state's budget from back in 2020 projecting a $54 billion deficit to, we said, the record high surplus of nearly $100 billion right. And now a $25 billion deficit. Are these dramatic budget projections normal given that you've served under both Democrat and Republican governors?
They are for one reason. We have a very progressive tax system in California and our fortunes are very much tied to the financial markets as well. Give you an example. If you look at all of the personal income tax returns that were filed in California in the year 2020, just 1% of the total number of income tax returns that were filed were responsible for more than 49% of all of the personal income tax that was paid in that year. And unlike most of us who get our income from wages and salaries, that very narrow sliver, that very narrow band of taxpayers derives a lot of their income from things like capital gains, stock markets, bonuses that are tied to corporate or stock performance. So when the markets are doing very well, those individuals are doing very well and states' revenues are doing very well. Conversely, when the markets go south, their fortunes don't do very well, and the states' revenues decline as a result. Now, what we've done is we've built in some safeguards to deal with that issue. The voters passed a measure to create the so-called rainy day fund, the budget stabilization account. And several years ago, they strengthened that with when passing Proposition 2. And that creates a formula by which not only is a fixed percent of revenue put into that fund every year, on top of that, there's a portion of revenue that can be ascribed to capital gains, market activity, that is automatically taken off of the top and put into that account. And it's not like an overdraft account that you can just dip into. In order to get to that money, the governor has to declare a fiscal emergency, and the legislature has to approve the appropriation of money out of that fund. So that deals somewhat with the issue of volatility and how the stock market affects our revenues. Doesn't completely insulate us from that, but it's a far better shock absorber than existed 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is the state relies heavily on the top 1% of earners, and you said it provides nearly half of all income tax revenue. What are the main sectors driving California's slowdown? Because we did have some significant tech layoffs from Twitter to Facebook and Amazon.
We have, and we've seen that happen again since the governor said in May that we've seen some flashing lights. I won't get into corporate names, but I think that everybody is familiar with a lot of the marquee names where there have been layoffs or reductions in force, or there have been indications that those individuals aren't going to receive the stock bonuses that they were going to hopefully receive this year. That community is pared back. Some indications are that they overhired during the COVID recession. And because of what we've seen, that's in those layoffs. We're seeing that in terms of the drop in our personal income tax revenue, because a lot of that is seen in withholding revenue, which is kind of a real-time indicator for us of what's going on in the job market. And a lot of people may think, well, wait a minute, we keep hearing all these reports that employment in the state is growing. We're adding more jobs. In fact, that's the case. We have almost recovered all of the jobs that we lost since the COVID-19 recession took effect. The issue for revenues is that when we have those layoffs and cutbacks in that very high-wage, high-tech sector of the economy that is affected by the stock market more than other areas, that has a more profound impact or a more direct impact on our revenues near term than other sectors of the economy would. They will come back. We go through cycles in the state. We did it through the dot-com bust 20 years ago when the dot-com boom went spectacularly bust. It happened during the Great Recession when the subprime mortgage market collapsed that affected California disproportionately compared to the rest of the country, along with the stock market collapse that happened with it. So we've been through these before, and we will come back. But right now we're in a situation where we've got to deal with the shortfall next year. But again, relative to those downturns in the past, we are in a far better position to deal with those.
HD, thank you so much.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
H.D. Palmer is Deputy Director with the California Department of Finance, discussing California's projected budget shortfall in the upcoming fiscal year. Up next, we head to UC Davis Health, which has become a national leader in kidney transplants, surpassing a major milestone. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.